Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, hi. Thank you for our regular diners. This is Robin with the Transformation Cafe. I'm one of the regular diners here, and we want to thank everybody who is here. We have back with us visiting once again, Miss Marvine Lindberg. Hey, Marvine, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for asking. And Mr. Jamie's in the house. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent, and I'm in the house.
And he's in the house, yes. Thank you so much for joining us. And just remind everybody again, if you want to be able to get onto the switchboard, that number again is 646-727-3206. We do have a chat room open, so just in case you have any questions, comments, and anything you want to add to the conversation, pulling up a chair and just let us know what you think. So tonight Marvine and I were talking a little bit about what we might be talking about tonight, and she brought up the concept of power. The whole concept of power. So, Marvine, you want to elaborate on that a little bit, and we'll kind of see where this goes on with our conversation.
Well, you know, I think interesting because actually, what I think we talked about was control and power, and in some cases, there's a they're kind of synonymous because a lot of people use their power to control other people's. An analogy of that could be in the workforce, in the school situation, you know, at home, parents attempt to control or use power over their kids. And a lot of times what happens is it might work for a short period of time, but the bigger picture has to do with then when there's ultimately at some point some type of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that ties hand in hand with that is you know, we are taught from the time we're very young that there are certain rules and things that are acceptable or not acceptable, and yet we see people going against those things that we're taught, against those examples. On a day-to-day basis, and overall, and when you start talking about power and you start talking about control, you start looking at government, you start looking at major corporations, you start looking at education, you start looking at a lot of those things, and if you take a lot of the reasons that people do that. Is to blow themselves up or puff themselves up, but they're not looking at the big picture ramifications of what they're really doing and how many people is it really, really, really affecting.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk now.
Okay. Well, I'm involved in what you said. Well, I'm thinking of, you know, when it comes to control and power, okay, we're looking, I'm just kind of watching what's been going on with the Republican, debates and them trying to figure out who they're going to have as a, candidate for the election. And what I think is really wonderful, I don't know if you saw the State of Union tonight with Obama, but, I mean, the messaging that really was happening with that was just this level of, you know, us taking back our own personal power, us taking back the responsibility for watching each other's back, us taking on a level of recognizing that, you know, it took everyone, you know, being a team and looking forward to have America be what it is. And looking from that perspective when it comes to a sense of power, I think, and, you know, in the press and everyone else is doing a really good job of starting to say, you know, what's acceptable here? What's what is the main populace going to say, you know, allow and not, no longer look away when it comes to certain levels of the fairness and having things be where, you know, we truly can support one another without having it be in the back room with a lobbyist paying somebody off so something else can happen. So I think it's a really exciting time because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, it was interesting because I've heard it said that in the 60s, you know, the hippies and the people basically wanting to be protesting the war and things like that were going away and were working on the fringe. And now what seems to be happening with our timeline now is that they're realizing they need to work within the systems instead of trying to be outside a system and having it change. And I think that's really, on a certain level, that's really happening when it comes to a certain level of, like you're saying, when it comes to controls and power and things like that.
I think what's interesting, and especially since you love the 50s and 60s stuff, is the fact that when you start taking a look at the sit-ins and a lot of things that are going on, people demanding more honesty and power in Wall Street, and I think that there's going to be some major upheavals in healthcare before too much longer, and major corporations, it's already been demonstrated that a lot of the major corporations are having financial issues, and there's been a total misuse of power and money pretty much across the board in a lot of respects. And the bottom line is I think that people, you know, they buried their head for a long time, and they did it because they thought everything was okay, and they didn't realize, for example, when you take a look at the parties, and I don't watch the news because it's too depressing. But
it is depressing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I watch Comedy Central and look at the comedians and how they're you know, giving the different perspectives. So that's a lot of the places I get with that. So
I don't even watch those guys. I don't know why.
Me either. Because normally it's at somebody else's expense.
Did you see the State of the Union tonight, Jamie?
What's that now?
Did you watch the State of the Union tonight with Obama?
No, I was on the bus coming home.
He was on the bus. Okay.
and the thing is, and I think what's really interesting about it is, you know, Obama, because he's president, is the one that everybody's blaming. But if they really step back and took a look, this has been building up for years and years and years.
Well, I think you need to blame both the parties that are involved there.
I agree.
Right.
Well, some of the other ones.
It wasn't always like this, you know.
No, and you know, that's one thing that happened in the State of the Union. Obama did a wonderful job of really just going to Congress and talking about, you know, no party is exempt from all the different, you know, blockages and things that have happened the last couple of years. And, you know, the stalemates of not being able to make decisions. Because with that, you know, the tug of war that's gone on within the Congress, you know, that really, you know, froze a lot of things that could be out there helping the people. So, you know, he took responsibility on a certain level of being the president, what that looks like, and kind of having his hands tied with a certain level of the way they have it, what the way things are now, and even in Congress the way that things are now, and ultimately reminding them, just like my little speech before about, you know, it takes a team effort, it takes everyone, you know, trusting everybody else within your unit, because he's used the example of a military unit when the SEALs went in to basically, you know, take care of stuff when Bin Laden was taken out. He was talking about that level of, like, you know, everybody that had participated in that, you know, everyone had to be trusted. Everyone was being known that they were going to do the best job they possibly could with what they were being put into. And he says that's no different than anybody in Congress. That's no different than anybody in any kind of situation. You know, that if we all bring our best to the table and seek to serve and, you know, trust and watch each other's back, that, you know, ultimately it will be for good.
Yeah, but you see what has happened. And the hard part, and I struggle with it on a day-to-day basis, is that anymore, a lot of times it's not who you can trust, but who you can go to get a favor for you through somebody else or any number of other ways, as opposed to everybody truly agreeing that basic trust and honesty is critical, and yet we're at a critical point today because trust has to be earned. It's not just given anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's a justified thing to say. I mean, the trust has been broken, and you know, like I said, if watching everybody's back stopped, if you know, whether you're a lobbyist or you're somebody working out off of Wall Street, then you know, there's only going to be so many people that watch each other's backs. It's not going out to the other people all over not everyone. It they're limiting the amount of the group and who they're supporting and not supporting. Everyone's supported. Or, you know, we do fail. We do collapse.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the tough part is, you know, all of us, every one of us, one way or another, is paying a price. And I'm not talking about just the differences between the people who have lots and those that don't. I'm talking about globally.
Oh, globally, of course. Look in Europe. They're having a bad problem with their monetary, their finances, and that could drag us down. It's all intermeshed there, you know. Their economies depend on our economy, and Greece is bankrupt, and the way they downplay the urgency of this is, I think they're not saying more than they should. Be a little more transparent too with their dealings. Of course, they don't want to do that because then
they're afraid to panic, right?
Right.
Exactly. You know, it's right. Interesting. We have had another offer come in on our house, and this is for us. And I don't usually share personal things, but this is kind of interesting because we did, you know. Buying real estate property was supposed to be secure, so we put a substantial amount of money down on our home 11 years ago, and then we put another very substantial amount of money into the improvements, and they weren't surface stuff. They were big-time stuff, and so our house was appraised 3.5 years ago, give or take, for $875,000. Well, the offer that came in tonight was $240,000. We've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's not a poor, pitiful me thing, because it's not only us that's lost as a direct result of manipulation and dishonesty way, 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 way above high.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting I was on a pity pot this morning. I did a pretty good job with that. I don't usually get on the pity pot, but you know, one of the things is overall, I think we all started off on a basic trust and honesty belief system, and there's been so much corruption over the last number of years, and I'm saying 20 plus years, that we're all in our infancy. We're starting all over again, every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when you start looking at that, then maybe we need to look at power and control in different ways. And the bottom line is to not look just at self, but how what we do, what our actions are, and everything else impact others, whether it's in the immediate family, whether it's in the workforce, whether it's some idiot that's cutting in and out of traffic and stressing people out or causing accidents. And I think what's happened is somewhere along the way we've lost touch with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I had a number of phone calls today, and I have one gal that went in to apply for a job, and the company she went in to apply, she'd been working at this place for a couple of years, and the company that she went into, is a restaurant, and the company she went in to apply at was another restaurant in a different city. They never heard of it. Basically, they implied that she was probably lying, that she'd never worked here, and she'd been there for 2 years.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, who would want to work for a company that wouldn't even look it up in the phone book or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
or even consider that there's, you know, just because you don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Well, exactly. And I think that that's one of the things that happened is there were a lot of things going on with the people that they didn't know about. There were power and control issues, and it was going on, but they didn't know. And it's taken it to get to this boiling point, this point of crisis all over the world for people to start paying attention and say, you know what, there really is a problem here.
Mm-hmm. You know, and ultimately, you know, I just know in my heart of hearts, and I think that's really where we're all being asked to go to is, you know, go first to your heart and,
yep.
you know, check in with yourself there before you look to anything. So, you know, it's good that you guys aren't watching TV. It's good that, you know, depending on the conversations, to really not get caught up in a lot of that stuff. But yet, you know, on a certain level, you can't, you know, hide your hand in the sand and act like these things aren't affecting the planet, because they are.
Oh,
so,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, here we are doing the Transformation Cafe, and I mean, one of the things we really seek to do on this show is to come from a place of light and love. And so, and if we're talking about power, you know, let's talk about the power of love. Let's talk about the power of healing.
And let's talk about transformation.
Right. Let's talk about the power of transformation, recognizing, you know, sometimes you've got to go to that place where you're really uncomfortable before things can change. You know, there's got to be a certain level of, you know, I just can't do this anymore. You throw up your hands and realize, you know, we're going to stop this now and we're going to change the way that we're doing something. You know, I think one of the things that last year and this year is all about is, you know, coming from a level of modifying. You know, let's modify what we've been doing because, you know, if something's not working anymore, that's a definition of insanity. Thinking you can do the same thing over and over again and not have it be, you know, not and have it be changed. You know, you do the same thing, you're going to get the same results.
And adding to that, I think another thing, too, is everybody needs, this isn't one or two people to blame. This has been a collective. And one way or another, in some, could be large, small, whatever, we have all contributed to it. And I'm sure
mm-hmm.
that's going to probably make a lot of people angry, but it's true. And we can
mm-hmm.
look, if we can objectively look at how we contributed and then what small ways can we begin to make changes and truly look at ourselves and look at more honesty and integrity and look at a lot of those other things. But it's going to take everybody one step at a time, one individual at a time, seeing what they can do to help make it better. And it doesn't, you know, it sounds like a huge job, but it's certainly doable.
Well, and you know, and it really isn't, you know, when you break it down, just like you're saying, I think when you break something down like that and you really look at it and realize that, you know, it's that those small choices that you make every day, those small things about, you know, doing something a little bit different, a different way, taking a different mindset, taking a different perspective. I mean, I in my business network, we had a lady talking today about her business, and she's got a repair shop. And their whole goal is to come from the perspective that they want to be very feminine friendly because, you know, car repair and things like that, you know, it just comes from a more male occupation, male perspective. And she basically went around to all her guys and she said, what if your mom came in here or your mom's best friend came in here and they were looking for auto repair? Would you treat her the way you treat some of the other women that have come in here? And they all looked at her very shocked and said, well, no, I had never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you treat every woman who walks in the door like somebody who's related to you or somebody that you know, your family knows, you're definitely going to give them a different sense of treatment and just a level of, just a more level of customer service and just connection. There's more of a connection there. You know, like Jamie, with your business, I mean, I'm sure you have that on a certain level. I mean, here you've got these people. It's such a personal thing, almost, you know, and an intimate thing on a certain level, getting tattoos and things like that. I'm sure that, you know, you definitely have to consider that on a regular basis when you've got people coming in.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And everybody should be treated like a human being when they walk through the door.
Jamie. From a male perspective, tell me how a human being should be treated.
Oh, like a human being. Like you want to be treated like you would treat somebody.
With respect
the golden
and
rule.
Honesty.
With respect and honesty. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen all the time. And a lot of times in my business, I have repeat customers and I have new customers. And new customers, sometimes I don't know who they are or I've never met them. They may know who I am. Or I don't know this person from Adam and he walks through the door and if he wants to avail my services, I'd imagine he'd want to be respectful and treat me, you know, if he wants something, I'll give it to him, but it's going to cost him some money. But again, you know, I don't judge people when they come in and what they get. I don't do certain tattoos, but they can get somebody to do something for that reason or something that's a little more extreme probably, you know, especially on younger people because mm-hmm. they don't think about the future sometimes and they want to get their fingers and necks and faces tattooed, but we don't do that. I don't do that.
Okay. Now, Jamie, let me ask you a question, though. As far as now, and we're talking about your service now, as far as your pricing, are you competitive with other people who do tattoos?
I'm fairly reasonably priced, and
okay.
I haven't really raised my rates, even though I've been told I should. But
right.
I think I charge what I charge, and it's a fair price. Now, there's some people that kind of milk that, but, you know, that's their thing.
Well, and I'm sure there's some people that think they charge a fair price and they don't do half as good a job as you do either.
Well, of course. There's
that's
a popular thing nowadays that there are a lot of people that have just kind of gotten into the business to make money, and that's the wrong, especially with this business, you know. It's as good as you are, so. And you can be as big as you want, or you can be as I just like to go to work and try to help the people out, you know,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
worry about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was hearing the girl talking today, you know, about her business, she said every year their business has grown just for the fact that they take that as a mindset of they want to treat people the way they want to be treated and they want to be sensitive to, you know, like I was saying, more of the, you know, the feminine perspective of, you know, a woman coming into a car repair, what is that going to look like, and having it be where, you know, they will sit down with her and say, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, these are the recommendations that we make. So there's an intelligence about it, there's a sensitivity about it, there's a level of connection. So, you know, everybody's, you know it's because, I mean, there's a certain level, if you walked into some garages, the guy's going to look at you like, I'm doing this and this and this is why I'm doing it.
Right.
You know, he's not gonna, you know, treat you like, you know, you're an intelligent person who can understand the different kinds of stuff. So, you know, there's definitely that level, and I mean, we could put that to the extremes on just a pretty much any kind of a business. So
all
it's
right.
interesting to just take it from that level of what, you know, what we were talking about before, where there's an empathy involved with that. There's a balance.
Oh,
I
empathize with my customers all the time because it's a painful process in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
And it does bring you back to earth, for sure. You know, you're in the moment. It's something that's happening immediately. It's very immediate and right there.
Instant
there you
gratification.
Are. What's that?
Instant gratification.
Well, I don't know how instant in some respects. Maybe as far
well,
as
the
art
goes. Well, they can come in and they get it. The day they come in and they get what they want and they can leave.
Most of the times, yeah. And
yeah.
they do. It does satisfy an urge, I imagine.
Right.
You know, and
I
never
talked
about
that as a compliment.
We scratch an itch that some people think they have, I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, here we're talking about, you know, when it comes to control and power. And, you know, think about a level of a tattoo. I mean,
well,
there's a certain level of
that
self-expression that's just happening with that, where you're taking control and power over being able to express yourself with images you want to go ahead and have on a semi-permanent level on your body.
Well, that's
well,
the thing.
And again, so they're in control of their body, and they're trusting
right.
you with their body.
With
say again,
Jamie,
what did you say? What did you say
yeah,
before?
Semi-permanent. Nowadays, you can
well,
get the
semi-permanent.
Thing from
you. Yeah, I mean, you can go get it taken care of. That's why I said semi-permanent. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I always tell people to go get a henna tattoo or a temporary, and then if they're really not sure. Because that means that if they're not sure, that makes me not sure. So I'd much rather not do it if they're not sure, you know.
Yeah,
they have,
well,
I don't say so.
Yeah, well, and, you know, like I said, you know, that's actually a good way to do that. You try it out and see if you like it. And, you know, what is a hen to last a couple weeks? Something like that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think
some of those folks do that to have some kind of control so they have those things put on their body and sometimes as a rebellion?
Sure. And I tell some of the kids nowadays, you're more rebellious not to have any tattoos.
I am so rebellious.
Because, you know, everybody's got them.
Robin, is there something
you
want to tell us?
I don't have any
tattoos.
Well, then you're quite a rebel then.
I guess I am, because I was just like, look at that one. No, I had the fear of my mother, okay? My mom, oh, no, heck no, you're not going to get a tattoo. And I'm like, okay. So, I, you know, I might
but
be considered a rebel now, but back before, it was like I didn't want to get, you know, my butt kicked by my mom. So there I go.
Well, originally, tattoos were a representation of, and I'm talking about stateside, of originality and in many cases loyalty. They would have a loved one's name put on their shoulder or something, or the emblem for whatever particular part of the military, and then everybody else got on board and decided they were all going to do the same thing. So tattoos are not really unique anymore.
Well, you know, tattoos have been around. If you look at the history of tattoos, I mean, Damien can have
really
a, we can have a, yeah, we can have a fascinating conversation about, you know, the origins of tattoos and how it was markings and stuff before going into battle and things like that that the tribe would, you know, take on and things like that. Is that right?
Now, Jimmy,
like
what
that,
did you say?
It seems like that half hour has flown by again.
It did. We're down to three minutes.
Really?
Yeah, we're down. Yeah,
no way.
Yeah.
You guys, we are a great combination. We can really stir up all kinds of stuff in a short period of time. Jamie, I didn't hear what you said, Jamie, just prior to that last little bit of conversation about tattoos. You started to say something? I bet you forgot.
I probably did.
No, he doesn't remember. Well, Jamie,
that's
tell everybody
right.
about Chrome Almond in wonderful Seattle. Tell them about that real quick.
Sure. My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a tattoo artist by trade in Old Robert High School. I never gave her a tattoo, though. I'm up here in Seattle, Washington. We've been up here for about 15 years. The shop's called Chrome Home. And
what's your local number there?
The 206-325-9482. Every day
okay.
with time.
Okay. And just
okay.
so you guys know, I've had several people start asking me about the show. And Jamie, since you're on fairly frequently too, I'm going to start letting people know that we're out there. I'm going to put it on my website too.
All right.
Okay, cool. And Marvin, can you introduce yourself and let people know how they can get a hold of you? If you're looking for a psychic who can totally help you on an intuitive level with some intuitive counseling, Miss Marvin is the girl. So go ahead, Miss Marvin. How do we get a hold of you?
I don't know. Actually, 909-936-7133.
Mm-hmm.
And
another contact number for our appointments is going to be 951-689-2711, and that's another location that would be in the Riverside, California area, if anyone is interested.
Oh, that's true.
Huh?
I forgot that.
I know. You always forget about that, but that's okay. So one's the personal number she gave you, and the second would be if you'd like to do it on a level of having an appointment, we can go ahead and get that taken care of you, too. So, yep, just like normal,
now,
this transformation cafe goes fast. Pardon?
Can I put my 2 cents in? Robin owns a store called Flowers for You in Riverside, and she's going to give you a number. And she is a fourth degree Igbon floral designer, and she is really, really good.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, good contact number for me is 951-689-2711, and you can go to Riverside Flowers for You on Facebook and check me out. And if you would like me, I would really appreciate that. and come by and see us. Valentine's Day is coming, so there you go. You can make sure you get roses for your sweetheart. And
right.
If you come in and like me on Facebook, you get your special deal. Special deal. So
all
thank
right.
you again for everybody coming to the cafe, and we look forward to seeing you next time. So be you looking for us, and we'll save some dessert.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time.